Welcome, thirsty soul. The South Main Church of Christ podcast is intended as a collaborative effort between the Churches of Christ in East Central and Southeast Ohio who sing vocal music during worship services. Our goal with the podcast is simple: to connect the message of Christ with you through the lessons from the Bible. We hope you will find this podcast to be a fountain for all. Hi, this is Jim Lanning and Tom Shepherd. This week on South Main Church of Christ podcast, I'm sitting down with Austin Woodfin, pulpit minister at Pennsville Church of Christ, to discuss loving like Jesus from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35.
John definitely has a lot of examples of love throughout his gospel that we get to observe,
right.
Which definitely makes things interesting once we go to really study, well, what does it really mean to love like Jesus?
My conversation with Austin in just a few moments.
First, some details about the Christian News with Jared.
The Christian News is a page on our church website, which includes an extensive list of stories we've covered on our podcast and is updated regularly with news story links. Some of the stories posted include a link from Channel 10's interview with Ohio State defensive end Jack Sawyer about God and football, a link to World Video Bible School's video about AI and the Bible, and Vice President J.D. Vance's warning about AI being weaponized to rewrite history and censor speech. Many more topics can be found on the Christian News page on our website. That's smcocnl.org.
He heard the joyful sound, Jesus says, Jesus says, spread the tidings all around, Jesus says, Jesus says, bear the news to every land, find the sea and cross the ways, onward is our Lord's command, Jesus says.
Now, Tyler has this week's inspirational thought.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 18. I'm Tyler Waite.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Now, the conversation. Hi, Austin. Glad to have you here today, and I hope you'll be able to come back sometime as well.
Thankful to be here. When we open our Bibles to John chapter 13 and start trying to address the topic of loving like Jesus, when we get into John chapter 13, starting in verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see, when we look at the love commands in Scripture, we find that there's something different about the John chapter 13 command. When we study and read in Matthew chapter 22, in the situation when a lawyer asks Jesus what the greatest commandment in the law is, Jesus replies in saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And you know, I think that we can understand this, right? You know, that first commandment is pretty clear cut and simple. Love God with your entire being. Love God who loved you. I believe that it's easier to show love to someone who has loved you unconditionally. But what about the second command in Matthew 22? Jesus goes on and says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's interesting that Jesus does not just tell us to just love others. He says to love others as you love yourself. And so we have to ask is, how much do you love yourself? Do you love your life? Do you love what God has given you? Do you love yourself? You know, I really hope that everybody does love themselves, but now Jesus says to take that same feeling of love that you have for yourself and show that to others. But when we get to John chapter 13, Jesus says, a new commandment that I give to you. So we have to ask ourselves, Jim, what makes this a new commandment?
Right, just the type of love it is. We know Jesus was loving in all situations. And I was thinking, Austin, too, about who recorded this. John wrote this down. And the love relationship, I guess we call, between John and Jesus, and the things that Jesus asked John to do, to take care of his mother, and the love that they had between them as they grew, as John grew as a Christian. And I think I'm thinking back to a husband and wife when they're first married. They love each other, but to love it on the level that Christ says, love your wife as yourself. So that's another thing that we have to do. And I think we learn that through marriage. You see a couple that's been married over 50 years. I think that shows the type of love that we're talking about here.
John definitely has a lot of examples of love throughout his gospel that we get to observe,
right.
Which definitely makes things interesting once we go to really study, well, what does it really mean to love like Jesus?
Right.
And when we address the command in John 13, when we look at what is different about this command versus the Matthew 22 commands, we see those five crucial words.
Right.
Those words that he says, love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
I mean, those are five words that completely change how we are to love. As I have loved you. As Jim mentioned, you know, as we look throughout the Gospel of John, we find different ways that Jesus has showed love, different ways that John has showed love to Jesus, and in other situations like that. Up until this point in John, when we look at John 13 and what comes before that, I mean, to this point, Jesus has performed these many signs and wonders and miracles, and he has taught people, he has shown people the way, he has taught people differently, he has changed the way of thinking for so many people. And Jesus's ministry excelled because of the way that he did things differently. And through all of those actions, he has shown some portions of his love for others, but we have to ask, what does Jesus really mean when he says those five words, as I have loved you? To put ourselves in the disciples' shoes for a moment, if you were there when Jesus said this command live and in person, I want you to think about what you would think of that being, what you would think to Jesus saying that. If you were there in John 13 at the beginning of the chapter when Jesus got down and washed his disciples' feet, what would you be thinking if you had that background, Jim, and Jesus said to love one another as I've loved you? What would be the first thought that came to your mind?
You know, the instances where you do that, does that mean I have to love someone that has done something very hurtful to me? Do I have to love them to that extent? And that type of thing, the type of love that we have, that it goes beyond what our emotions are. We can't, mm-hmm. we've said something about anger and things. We can't let that go. This love has to be so overwhelming that it takes control over everything else and controls our behavior, controls our very thoughts.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about the kind of love that Jesus commands us to.
Right.
I mean, the love that he commands us to is different.
Yes.
And that's what's so special about it.
Yes.
When we look at in Scripture, there's four different types of love, you know, that we find in the Greek in Scripture. One of those types of love that we find is the Greek word eros. Eros is love that is used more under an emotional standpoint. It's often used as physical love or passionate love. We find the word storge. Storge is love that's often shown in a parent-child relationship and reciprocated back in the child-parent relationship. And we find the word phileo, which is a word that Jesus does use some, and it's a word that Peter actually uses in John 21 when speaking to Jesus about love. But then we find the word agape. And as you mentioned, Jim, the different kind of love that Jesus commands for us here, we find that in agape love. And agape love is probably best defined as loving with priority. Love which shows priority for the other person. It's love that puts others first. It's love that leads you to a cross to die for many people who still will reject you. It's love that puts everybody else above yourself. And that's the love that Jesus had. I think that's what's very special about the love that Jesus had. But then Jesus says to take that same manner of love and show that form of love to others. But I think we have another question we have to address, Jim. When Jesus says that we have to love one another, does he really mean that we have to love everyone? I mean, haven't you seen what's in the world around us? I mean, the world is full of so much evil. How can we love them? I mean, the world is full of drunkenness and thieves and homosexuality and adultery, just to name a few. And that list goes on and on. How can Jesus tell us to still love them?
Because all human beings were created by God, and they're in God's image. And Jesus, being the Son of God, also could see something in that person. I'm sure they could see how they could be different if they would understand what he's teaching and the love that he has for him, and it would change lives. And the potential, I guess that's the word I should be using here, potential that each person has, and that love can bring that out. I was just thinking of the English or American language we speak. We use love in such extreme ranges. You know, I love to eat this, or I love to eat that, or I love this, or love that. And a lot of these times we use that, it's really just like, and we don't have four words like the Greeks had. And that's one thing, it's great to have the Greek and be able to look at that, that we're talking about four levels of love and this highest level that we're talking about right now. And we have to look to Jesus for those examples. So, but I think the potential in each human being, you see how the Word of God can change lives, the power in the Word of God. And people can change, extreme changes. So that's what we have to keep in our mind in loving everyone.
Well, when we look throughout the life of Jesus, you know, we can use the John chapter 8 example. When we look at Jesus in that situation with a woman who was caught in the act of adultery,
exactly.
I mean, how could Jesus have showed love to a woman like that?
Right.
And I think, Jim, that sometimes we look at different actions and we ask ourselves the question, well, how can I love someone when they steal from me? Or how can I love someone when they commit adultery against me? Or how can I love someone when they fill in the blank? Typically, we ask that question when they are doing wrong to us.
Right.
But instead of thinking about, well, if it's adultery or homosexuality or drunkenness or lying, why can't we just ask the question of, well, how can we love them when they sin? And I think that's when we get into the phrase about being able to love someone without loving what they do. And do you think that Jesus teaches us that there, Jim?
Yes, I do. I do. That's we're not saying this is easy to do. Someone's harmed you, harmed your family. It's extremely difficult, but we have to forgive. And Christ forgave us. That's the point that's always we have to be aware of. He's forgiven us. We're sinners, so we have to be able to forgive others. And we're not saying it's easy to do, but this is Christianity and what Christ and God wanted for us as his children.
Well, none of this is easy. We know that.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. It's hard stuff, and we know that, but at the end of the day, Jesus told us to love them.
Right.
To love them as he himself loved.
I'm just thinking something else. Is John 14:15 in that, if you love me, keep my commandments?
Mm-hmm.
So That's important too. What about our love for Christ?
Mm-hmm. If we love him, then we'll keep his commandments, and this is one of the commandments of love we need to keep.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tom Shepherd, one of the elders here at New Lex Church of Christ. If I could just say one thing. As you said, Jesus loved people, did all wonderful works, even washed the disciples' feet. But he also, I think, he wants us to love people because they have a soul. Mm-hmm. Soul is the most important thing in this world.
Good point.
Jesus said in Mark 8:36, I believe it is, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We can't give nothing. We have to love the Lord and care about people's soul, no matter what they are. We don't like what they do, because I sin, I make mistakes, but yet we have to think on the soul. I think that's very important.
Well, I mean, even Jesus himself thought that way. I mean, when we look at the Luke 23 example of Jesus on the cross, that, I mean, their soul was what was on his mind.
Right.
And that, I mean, not to take away from the weight of, you know, Jesus' sacrifice, which was the ultimate, you know, example of love. I mean, just the words he uttered on the cross showed that example. I mean, when you look in Luke 23 and 32, starting in 32, where Jesus says there are also two others, criminals, which are, I'd say those are people we probably might say deserve to be there, that we are not the one to judge, but we typically look at the other two that were on the cross on the right and the left of Jesus. We might say that they deserve to be there, but it tells us that there were two others led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said to them, or Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, to imagine being in a situation like Jesus is in as he is hanging there, obviously in severe amounts of pain, suffering, being mocked, whipped, scourged, spat upon. He loved, but it wasn't just love. He loved the soul and love for the soul of those two criminals that hung beside him. And that's what he tells us to do, to love one another as I have loved you, to fill that gap with love. And, you know, the world thinks that we, being we as calling us the church, the world thinks that we hate the world. They think that we hate the drunks and the adulterers and the homosexuals and the liars and the fill in the blank, whatever term you might want to put in there. But Jesus told us to love. And Jesus proved through his life, through the Gospels, that he did love them. And he showed that he loved them. And that's why it's so important for us to love as Jesus loved, because we love others even though they sin, because Jesus too loved us when we sinned.
Right. If you think what the world would be like if it starts with me, if I start doing the type of love that Jesus had for me and for others, how this world could change. And that's the way we think about it. It first has to start with each one of us, I think, and if we do that, think of what kind of church we can have, what kind of world we could have if we got everyone doing this.
We see how much the world changed because of how much Jesus loved us.
Amen.
And now we can see how much we can change the world by loving the same way he did.
Yes, yes. Tom, did you have anything else?
Well, when he says, many times he says in the scriptures, Paul wrote, the like Austin said, adulterers, homosexualities, all these kind of people, they warned, what Jesus warned, they will not go to heaven. And that's why we want to try to always love them, try to win their soul so they can go to heaven.
Well spoken.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Austin.
Thank you.
Here's Mark Randolph with this week's bulletin announcements.
Welcome this week to the weekly announcements. We remember our Bible studies are Sunday mornings at 9:45. Our Sunday evening, the ladies get together on the phone at 5 p.m. I encourage you to be with part of that. Also, we have a midweek service on Wednesday night at 6:30. I encourage you to come for that. Our church youth group to get together is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's in our fellowship hall, and the next one will be April the 25th. Also, the ladies get together on Saturdays, the first and the third Saturday of each month. They get together from 8:30 to 9:30 and do a morning devotion over the phone. Also, we have our prayer list, and we want to remember all the ones that's on the prayer list going through procedures and surgeries and recovering. We want to remember all of them at this time. We have our spring gospel meeting coming up with Tony Tirole, and that'll start on May the 4th, 5th, and 6th. Encourage you to come for that. Also, we have a summer sing coming up in June, and that'll be June the 27th. And it'll be on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Encourage you for that. This is Mark Randolph, and bringing you weekly announcements.
For my closing thoughts today with what Austin has brought forth in this podcast, I would go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the end of that verse where we're seeking God's approval. It tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Austin has done that in the, he said, as I have loved you, that was Christ's words, we are to love others as I have loved you. It's looking very closely at the word of God, that those five words do mean quite a bit to us. That we have to love others as Christ has loved us.
Come, glad morning, when this life is o'er, I fly away to a home on God's blessed shore. I fly away, you know I
Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Lanning, currently serving as one of the three elders at South Main Church of Christ in New Lexington, Ohio. The other two elders at our church are Tom Shepherd and Ernie Starling. Our theme is There's a Fountain Free, composed by Mrs. M.B.C. Slade and Dr. A.B. Everett. Other hymns we feature in this podcast are He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe, composed by American Folk Melody and Pam Stevenson. Also, we have heard A Joyful Sound, composed by William J. Kirkpatrick and Priscilla J. Owens. And to close this podcast, I'll Fly Away, composed by Albert E. Brumley. We would like to thank all of the guests who agreed to take part in our discussion each week and hope to have them back with us in the future to discuss the Bible and what we can learn from Scripture. Our guests this season are from, but not limited to, the following organizations: the Southeast Ohio Food Bank in Logan, Hawken County; Christ's Table in Zanesville, Muskingum County; Somerset Church of Christ in Somerset, Perry County; New Concord Church of Christ in New Concord, Muskingum County; Churches of Christ Disaster Response Team in Tip City, Miami County; Pennsville Church of Christ in Pennsville, Ohio, Morgan County; Lone Star Church of Christ in Falls of Rough, Kentucky, World Bible School. Our weekly announcements are written by Holly Randolph and narrated by Mark Randolph. Thanks to Jared Allen, our technology room steward and media producer, as well as for serving as the writer, editor, and the scheduler of our guests. Jared also is our webmaster and assembler of the stories on the Christian News webpage. We thank all of our church members for their support. Most of all, we thank you for listening each week to the South Main Church of Christ podcast and hope you will subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you will come join us for a Sunday worship service at 7 Smith Street in New Lexington, Ohio, and stop in during one of our Bible study sessions. Please be on the lookout for our special podcast posted from time to time. Let's talk again in a week.